thank you for being with us, and I do appreciate all that our staff do and the guys that volunteer back there, Oscar and the others, to help us each and every week to do this. I get a little, you know, I look around, and I do see some hope. Some churches I know in other states, some had services today. And some are planning to have services in some type of way over the next few weeks. Some have, I even get irritated, some have these drive-in services. We don't even have enough parking for services when we have regular services. And it's kind of hard to get an FM thing that'll get you, that you can listen to when you're parked at Blue Line or over on Wardlow. So that doesn't work for us either. So this was exciting. We like creativity and we like being different. And we like, you know, like, there's a problem, let's do something neat. But it's been about 8 weeks now, okay? So let me explain how this is working for me. I'm over it, all right? I enjoy doing this, and I'm glad you're watching the service, but I'm over it. And I miss most of you. I miss most of you. Seeing most of you. And I miss a full auditorium and people sitting outside and the teenagers and the children and the children's missionary offering and all the different things. And the singing. I miss the singing when we're in the auditorium together. And I miss, I don't miss the choir, okay? I'm sorry about that. Just kidding. I miss the choir. I don't miss it because I sit right here and this is where the guys are. And so I don't get the best part of the choir. I miss the specials. I appreciate those that come, but we got a lot more of you that can sing and come and the groups and all the different things. And you say, are you complaining? I actually am. Pray for me. I just miss it. And I'm looking forward to us getting back together. And so, but I will say this before we get to the message. Let's make sure that we're staying faithful to what we're doing. After 8 weeks, it's so easy to get sloppy. It really is. We've been off schedule. Now, according to our governor, it was about right now that, 26 million people in California should have had it. You were wrong about that, too. It's like, well, I've been doing this, and you know, it was exciting when we first started. Hey, let's stick with it. This is where God, by the way, think of it this way, and this is not bad. I mean, our country has went through a lot of different things that were worse than this, but really, this is what, maybe the second time our country has ever went through something like this, and the other time was 1918. Could you imagine if we were going through this, and it was before we had the technology to have services online, it would be a tough thing. So there are some good things built into that, but I'm just saying, let's hang in there. Let's stay with our church, and by the way, you have, okay, you tuned in. We had the little Tuesday night thing, and over 80 of you tuned into that, 80 different devices tuned into that to just simply meet for 10 minutes from my house and then invite people to church. But I'm just saying, don't let the length of this get to you, okay? And so thank you for all of that. Got that off my chest. I feel better. You ever hear this phrase? You say something to somebody, and they're like, are you sure about that? Now think about that phrase for a minute. Are you sure about that? What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. I don't believe you. Okay. It's like, it sounds legit, but that's a lack of trust. It's kind of a lack of faith in the person that's talking to you. Many of us, if we were downright honest, sometimes struggle with having complete trust in our God. Now, not one of us would ever verbalize that. We would never have a testimony time and someone would raise their hand and say, you know what, pray for me, I don't trust God. Okay, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't even probably allow ourselves to say that we've lost our trust in God. We'd probably even suppress that in our mind. Now, let me state it another way, because most of us say, no, I trust God completely. I have faith in God. Okay, let me ask it this way. Do you ever have a lack in trust in all the things that are going on around you? The things that you are facing? The things that are coming at you in life? All of us would say, yeah, I just don't get some things. Well, who allows those things? God does. And when we have it's normal. But when we allow that to get into our mind, what we're really doing, as I mentioned a little bit on Thursday night about James, when it comes to trials, what we're really saying, we have a lack in trust that God is still in control and that God can make something come of everything that we are going through. See, trusting God means we trust him when everything going on around us would cause us to lose trust. When we ought to just say, you know what, I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust God with reckless abandon. I read a story, a pastor, he said that he was out with his son one time and they were climbing where there was a little jagged, a little hill or whatever, and he had his little son there. He said, so his son was kind of climbing up ahead of him and kind of climbed up on a little cliff type thing. And he said he was looking around and all of a sudden he heard was, Dad, catch me. And he looked up and his son was in the air. His son didn't even bother to wait to notice if his dad was looking before he jumped. He jumped and on the way down said, Dad, catch me. The dad kind of off guard and he went full circus mode and he caught the son. And the son had jumped from a high enough level to where it knocked both of them on the ground. Nobody got seriously hurt. When he got up, he's like, you know, dusts himself off, and he's like, looked at his son and said, why in the world would you have done that? And he looked at him and said, because you're my dad. He trusted completely that his dad would catch him. By the way, I've seen some of your dads. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Now we're going to meet a man today that, believe it or not, if you were paying attention to the verses we read, that actually did have that kind of trust in God. I purposely stopped reading at a certain point. If you read this along with us, you're probably thinking, wow, it's going to be a bummer of a message tonight. No, actually, it's not. Job was a great man in every single way imaginable. He was a person in his professional life. And as a Christian, he was a man that God bragged on to Satan. Satan comes before God one day, and Satan didn't even ask. He goes, hey, you consider my servant Job? That's a good guy. I'm paraphrasing. He was blessed by God, and he was prosperous. Everything was going great for Job in his life, and then he went through it. You know, when we talk about stewardship, we usually talk about our management of two things in our life. There's others, basically all of our possessions. But there's another aspect of stewardship. We talk about our person, who we are. Managing or giving ourselves to the Lord. In these afflictions, Job went through both of them. His possessions were gone. And who he was as a person was gone. He lost his health. But Job can be a great comfort and example for us. He went through many things, many difficulties, many trials. And most of them were no fault of his own. Now we see Job came through this. Now Job did have a struggle in some of the things that he said. But to be honest with you, nothing like what you and I would have said if we were going through what he was going through. In this book, you see how many of those around him did not respond very well to the situation. And to be honest with you, they weren't much comfort. His friends, and he mentions all these in a roundabout way or in a direct way in this chapter. His friends were horrible. They did really good the first 7 days when they came to see him because they didn't say a word. But then they started opening their mouth. They were not a comfort. They were more of a torture. He was confused with what God was doing. He felt God was against him. He wondered what was going on to him. And you know everything. He lost his family, lost his possessions. His relatives, his siblings, his distant family were estranged from him. His household servants, the ones that he hired, the ones he paid their way, they didn't pay attention to him. In fact, they ignored him. His wife was alienated from him. The neighborhood kids mocked him. And if all that wasn't enough, his body started to fail him. He was in a place where I'm pretty sure he wasn't sure of anything. Before he had been admired, he was able to help many people. He had a wonderful reputation. He was prosperous. He had a great family. And as you go through, one by one, those pillars in his life are just knocked out. And the whole thing is coming crashing down. The circumstances, the friends. But we do know the end of the story. We understand that because he had all these problems, it didn't mean that he lost the blessings of God. He just didn't know it at the time. You see, we tend to measure God's blessings on the wrong type of scale. And if everything is not absolutely perfect 100% of the time, we say that we're losing God's blessings, but it could be that we're going through those things so that God can expand his blessings again Thursday night. All of us at some time have a measure of this, not to the scale that Job had. Things happen to us. Someone disappoints us. We're alienated, maybe from a family member, and we've tried to make it right. We suffer financial downfall. Maybe our marriage and our family, there's something going on there that's not horrific, but it's just not right. And we go through it. It's times like those when the things that we were once sure of in life, we have a tendency not to be so sure of anymore. And so we're not as secure as we used to be. What do we do? Well, we can be like Job in the first, probably should have had you read 22 verses, Brother Pichardo, that's my fault. You could be like Job in the first 22 verses and just roll call. But there's verses that come after that. Job's confession. After Job's confession of all the problems, he finally comes to a good conclusion. He has struggled with it throughout the book, but as you go through the book of Job, interwoven here and there are some statements that Job throws out just so he can give us a reminder and he can remind himself that even though I'm struggling through this and I'm going through all this stuff, I still understand what's going on and I still understand that God is in control. Now, things are unsure for us at times in our life. I think of this time, and I've mentioned it. We're going through this time that's just unprecedented. I feel like we're all on house arrest. The only thing we're missing are the little ankle bracelets. You walk by near somebody. If you get within 6 feet of them, they act like you're trying to steal their wallet. And God forbid that you don't cough or sneeze because you're assaulting them. They think that you're dying. Some of the things we're going through are legit. We do have a virus. Now, the degree to which it is, I still think there's debate on, but we have a virus that we have to be careful of, and that's what our government's asking, and they've been asking for a really long time. Some of it has to do with some of your finances. Some of you, God has allowed you to have jobs where you still get paid or you're still able to go to work, but some of you don't. The longer this goes on, the more apprehensive you are that maybe it's going to affect you and your job. Some of you, more than that, your careers, am I going to lose my job? And I've mentioned a little bit about our church. You know, when church is meeting together, as a pastor, I can tell who's doing well. I got my finger on the pulse of the church. Someone's here and they're here faithfully. It's like, you know, and you hear the blessings and you tell me, and by the way, you've been texting me. Thank you for that. But it's not the same not seeing you. You know, we want to reach out to our community and we're blessed. Every week we have visitors. I don't know if we're having visitors now. The number count's there, but I don't know who you are. I'm hearing good reports. So it's all, some of it's legit. Some of it's just irritating. Government overreach. I think we found some of our governors and some of our county officials and some of our mayors are little dictators. Sorry about that. I'm not against them. I'm against what they're doing. It's funny. Let me just throw this out. They make special rules just for churches. By the way, there's something wrong with that. There's church up in Northern California. They're having services like we are. And for no reason, the government, the county comes in and says, you can't sing during a live stream. Let me just tell the government officials, drop dead. We're going to sing. Okay, I don't even understand that. They've already, in some of the states, they already made rules generally for the whole public, which I understand. And then they come back and put special ones on the church. We're not going to put up with that. I don't mind being a good member of the community, but don't push the church. Thought I'd just let you know that for our church family. But I'm a little irritated with that. The media deceit. Everybody's to blame and everybody's hateful. Why isn't it we just get together and try to figure this thing out? You know, and I mentioned this morning, you know, making us feel like things will never go back to normal. Why? By the way, don't buy into that. Amen. That's discouraging. Amen. You're sitting at home thinking, is this just going to be it how it is for the rest of my life? No, mankind survived for 6,000 years. We'll figure it out. We'll get through this. We will, as our president, what is the unseen enemy, we'll get through this. Let's not lose hope. Amen. That's irritating when we lose hope. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm irritated now. Oh, yeah, trust in God. Let me get back to that. The thing is, what we do is we sit here and we buy into all of this stuff. Let me just say this, people. Let's have faith in God and let this thing work out. It will work out. Okay, don't get discouraged. Because what happens is, and it's not just this, it could be you found out you have cancer. You found out a loved one. I just found out someone from our the old church over at Monterey Park, cancer, weeks to live. You hear things like that, and all of a sudden, everything you thought was secure in your life, now you're not so sure anymore. Job felt that way. Well, if you ask me, like you would ask Job, are you sure about that? Are you sure about trusting God? Let me ask you. Let me just answer you with like Job would. Yes, I'm sure. And as I look in these verses, we're going to go now. We're going to go to the good verses. We've read the complaints. I've got stuff off my chest, okay? I'm just being facetious. But as we get to it, there are five things that Job is sure of, and I'm absolutely sure of also. That'll help us to get through anything. First of all, yes, I'm sure that God's word is true. I'm sure. Look at verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were penned in a book. I'm pretty sure Job knows this now. They were. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in rock forever. Can I just tell you something, Job? They are. You wanted them to be, they are. Why? They're for our benefit. Can I just tell you something? God's word is for our benefit. God had his word written down for us. And we have a Bible we can completely trust that's 100% accurate. And I'm sure God's word is true. Amen. If I hear someone come and say something like, no, blah, blah, and it goes against God's word, I'm sorry, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm believing God's words. I need something better to put my life down on. I need something better to throw my anchor into than what man thinks or what this guy's opinion is. I have the words of Almighty God. Now, Job just said, write my words down. Can I just tell you something? We got Job's words and we got a whole lot more. Amen. Let that sink in. We have a book full of God's word to help us to get through anything. Amen. We can trust it. I read blogs. I recently was reading a blog, an evangelist back east, and he was recommending some books, and he recommended a book about the death of Jesus Christ. And it's written from a perspective of someone writing it like a story. And they give a lot of background to the story. And so I got the book, and it was fascinating. As he's telling the story from the scriptures. He got it from the New Testament. He talks about the different leaders and who they were and who they came from and their backgrounds, things that we would study out. And it was all good. And then he went all the way up through Jesus' death on the cross. And then the conclusion part of the book, the part people usually don't read, the addendum. He talked about the resurrection of Christ. And he said that there's a lot of confusion. The Bible doesn't even agree about that. And I'm like, and his conclusion was, I'm sure it happened, but the Bible's not clear. I'm like, idiot. I mean, he understood all the historical. I mean, he knew his characters in there. Caiaphas, Annabas, Pilate, and he told the backstory. But when he got to the part, the most important part of the story, he's like, you know, that just doesn't jive completely with the New Testament writers. He's wrong. God's word is sure. God's word is true. Don't question Scripture. We don't question Scripture necessarily like, is it true? But you know what we start to question, and we wouldn't say it out loud, and it just, is it really getting me through what I'm going through today? Does it really jive with what's going in my life in the year 2020? It is, and it does. God's word is true. I'm sure about that. See, we have to have something true. Some of our politicians are good people. Some of our politicians are confused people. And some of our politicians have a bad agenda. But you know what? I don't put my faith in their words. I put my faith in God's words. Sometimes someone on the news actually reports something correctly. Most of the time they don't. But you know what? I'm not putting my trust in there, and I'm not spending my time on there. I'm going to spend my time in God's word, because I know that's true. God's word is true, and it's here to help us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. God has given us through his power, which we're going to see in a second, is his word, everything we need for life, how we live, and godliness, how we live morally. It's all there. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be takers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, we can take part of that divine nature. In other words, we're becoming godly like God because we look at his promises in the word of God and we allow it to become a part of our life. God's word is something we can always trust. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What are you trusting in today? You say, oh, come on, Pastor Myers. You talk about the Bible, that's just a no-brainer. I have a Bible. You know, that might be the problem. We have so many copies of the scripture, sometimes we don't crack open any of them. Ah, and I people buy me Bibles, and that's this one here. Joseph got me one. I like it. This is the one I use. I just like the feel of it. But I got three copies in my office. I got a copy on my iPad. That's the one I read. I have a copy on my phone. I have a copy on my computer. I even have it tattooed. Just kidding. I'm going to get a little chip one. No. I'm not going to do that. And you know what happens? We have so much access to the Bible that we don't actually access the Bible. Isn't that funny? We don't even understand that through the dark ages, they couldn't even get a copy of the scriptures. They could be murdered and put to death and persecuted, become martyrs because they simply owned a Bible. And we're so Bible rich, we don't even get into it. William Tyndale is called the father of the English Bible. He was captured and eventually burned at the stake. What did he do? Translating the Bible into English. He lived a life hiding and going around so he could finish his task of translating the Bible. Hey, let's make sure that we get our news from the Bible. You see, churches, our faith is being marginalized by this world. And you know what? The Bible tells us that's going to happen. I get that. But what's sad is Christians buy into these same people that would criticize and get rid of Christianity in a heartbeat if they would. By the way, when you vote, vote correctly. Amen. Vote for a candidate that just doesn't believe in killing babies and other things. We get irritated with some of our leaders, but we put them in office. Yeah. Anyhow, that was free. You know, we go to sources like, all these, the Huffington Post and some of these godless, anti-God, anti-Christ, they print blasphemous things and we get our news stories from them. When I got my phone and they first had that Apple News app, it would pop up stories and I'm like, all garbage. I went and found a way to delete that off my phone. Sometimes somebody will send me a story and it's from Apple News. I can't get it because I don't have that app on my phone. I didn't want to hear the garbage anymore. I want to hear good news. Amen. But I'm sure, yes, I'm sure God's word is true. I'm also sure that God's presence is near. Look what Job says in verse 25. He's going through everything. He had even questioned what God was doing in his life, and yet he catches himself in verse 25 and says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Amen. Sometimes, and you're like me, I'll think something, and then it's like, but I know God's working. That just dumb thought crossed my mind. And Job put that down there. He's being honest about how he felt, but at least he could say, my Redeemer liveth. He struggled. Look, God didn't die. We act like he's dead sometimes. He's not dead, but sometimes he's dead in our life because we don't access him. Job didn't do that. Don't judge God's presence by what's going on in your life. Don't do that. See, let's quit putting God on trial. I say that over and over, but yet we do, right? God is good. I got a pay raise. Hey, is God good if you got laid off? Well, probably, yeah, because you're going to collect unemployment and get more money. That's not going to last forever, people. You know, God's good. My wife and I, we're doing really well. My husband and I, it is good. And then you go home one day and you get that look. You go through a rough patch. By the way, she's still good. You're still good. You're just human. God is good. We have freedoms. Is God still good when you're on lockdown? He's still good. God's good. I'm feeling good. What about if you're sick? Did God lose his goodness? See, and you could go on and on and on. Let's quit looking at what's going on in our life and saying, okay, let's see. No, that didn't go very well. Nope, God's not good today. Listen, God's always good. Amen. And by the way, when bad things happen, don't blame God. Amen. You know, it's funny, like, how come all this stuff going on in our world, how come God allowed it? Well, let's think about that for a minute. Huh, we kicked them out of our school. By the way, that was a big thing in the destruction of our country. Right. That was big. Second biggest thing is, hey, let's kill unborn babies. And we go our own way, and things don't go well, and we're going to blame God. It's called sin. I'm just thank God that we're alive at all. God's good. Don't lose God's presence. Sometimes it's a stormy day, right? The clouds are out. It's dark. But can I just tell you something? When the clouds are out, the sun did not disappear. We just can't see it. It's coming. Don't worry. Unless you live in Seattle, tough luck. It's coming back. Number three, we're late. I got to hurry. Yes, I'm sure God's control is perfect. Is perfect. So verse 25, in that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. You know what he's saying in a sense? God's control of this whole thing down here. He's coming. He's here. He's ultimately in control. Man, I'll be thankful for that day when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. Amen. Physically. Amen. I'm glad when he's going to come back for us in the clouds in the rapture. And no, it's not going to be halfway through the tribulation. If that's what you want, have a good day. But there will be a day when God is in control of everything. But can I just tell you something? Although sin is dominating this, God's still in control. Even though he may not author something, he at least allows it. But God is in control of your life. God's in control of my life. Nothing happens to us that God does not understand. If we're a Christian, our life has purpose. And God wants to work in anything that happens. God is working behind the scenes. See, Job didn't see it. Why did God do that? he lost everything. He had servants that died. He lost all of his possessions. His wife even got goofy with him, and I'll give her credit because when he got sick, he lost his health, everything's going on, and Job must have thought, how can anything good come from that? Well, you know what happened at the end. God doubled up on everything he had before. He had 10 more children, and the book of Job is there for us. You see, God had something to do with that. Some of the most unbelievable statements about trusting God and trusting his word come from the book of Job because they're written in the furnace of affliction. It's easy to say good things when things are going well, but when things aren't going well and you can still say good things, that means you really do trust him. Hey, don't lose hope. God's in control. Well, I'm irritated at our governor. By the way, I pray for him. I pray for our mayor. Okay? But you know, you can pick any state, any governor, any official. God allowed them to be in charge. It's okay. Number four, I am sure God's schedule is absolute. Verse 26, and this is not pretty. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. It's not pretty, but it's reality. Do you understand what he's saying? Hey, one day, it's all over. You know, we say it over and over again. Every birth date comes with an expiration date. All we get's the dash, everything in between. God knows when that's coming. This life isn't all there is. God's in control. Say, when am I going to die? I don't know, but God knows. Now, I will say this. Let's balance that out. Heard this story from J. Vernon McGee. He said a guy came to him and said, you know what? I believe God knows the day of my death, and that day's in stone no matter what. In fact, I believe it so much, I believe I could blindfold myself, and I could walk across a busy freeway. And if it's not my day to die, I will make it across. And J. Vernon McGee said, if you do that, it is your day to die. Okay, that's tempting God. But listen, God's in control of this thing. I don't know how long you have. I don't know how long I have, but I know this, God's schedule is absolute. So let's be busy with what he wants us to be busy with. None of this are getting out alive. We have one life, so let's make sure we live it. And by the way, let's make sure we're not living it with regret. What a shame to live your life and get to the end of your life to look back and say, you know, I wasted all these years. And by the way, if you've wasted some years, let's not waste the rest of our years. I know when I was a new Christian, men who I heard preach and men that motivated me and I knew who they were and they'd preach and visited their churches and out of the ministry and not, but you know what? Look, let's not waste our life. It can happen to all of us. Joe said, hey, it's we only have so much time. And then lastly, I'm sure God's accounting is coming. The end of verse 26, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job was going to see him. We're all going to see him someday. Now we're going to see him after we die, because there's an accounting coming. By the way, I don't say that to scare us, because if we live for the Lord and we do what we can to serve the Lord, that's going to be a good day. That's a day of reward. That's a day of finally seeing our Savior face to face. That's a day of everything you've done for God and no one else has seen it. God will take note of it. God is keeping the accounting. You living for God and you give and you serve and you share his faith and you know other people, they don't give a penny. They don't help anybody. They don't go out of their way, but they're saved. Can I just tell you something? I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned about when I'm going to stand before God. Because there is an accounting. There are a lot of injustices in this world, aren't there? There are many. If you don't understand Christ, you could easily say life is not fair. Righteousness does not reign. In fact, it seems that it's the opposite. Unrighteousness reigns. People are still sinful. All of us are. Wrong is often promoted. It's almost like the leaders of our country are saying, how worse can we get? Not only killing unborn babies, but now let's start killing them if they're trying to be aborted and they survive. That is awful. Let me just make it clear how I feel about it. That is disgusting. I can't think of a more evil thing than to kill a baby that's been born and it's alive. It's awful. By the way, it's horrible if you kill it before it was born because it was still alive. God help our country. You know what? I never pray for God to bless America. Let me just be honest with you. I pray for God to make our country blessable. Now we can't even figure out what bathroom to use. And if you have the audacity to say there's only two genders, they look at you like you're some kind of lunatic. That's common sense. Dogs know it. We live in a world. It's just ridiculous. We promote everything that's evil and wrong, and we mock everything that's right. There's a lot of injustices. Man, I'm irritated. I probably shouldn't be. Now let's get back to Bible. But you know how come I can get through this? Because God's in control. And one day, we'll all stand before God. No one's getting away with that. And I don't say that gleefully, because I feel some pity for somebody that would willingly kill a baby. Not much. In fact, now that I think about it, I got to be Christian here. They'll stand before God someday. Oh, they'll shout the Christians down. But you're not going to shout God down. See, our world's not right. Now, how I just acted a few minutes ago, I could live like that if I wanted to. But I don't need to. I know that, look, I'm not a citizen of this earth. I'm just a passing through. Amen. See, we look at our missionaries that go to Cambodia or go to Thailand or wherever they go. And it's like, you're not there to be a citizen. You're there to be a missionary and reach people for the gospel. Be a light. Do all of those things. But your main goal is to honor God. Can I just tell you something? We're also citizens of a heavenly country. Now, I'll say this. Let me balance this out, because some of us don't get this. That's right. That's why we shouldn't be involved in what's going on. No, no, no. God's given us a wonderful privilege to be able to vote and voice our concerns in our country. God's given us that right now. And it's not unchristian to take that. You know, people talk about revolt. Do you know our founding fathers gave us a way to revolt every few years? It's called voting. And we should take advantage of that. And we have a right in our country to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. Amen. But if they don't listen, we have a greater responsibility to get the good news out to people that don't know it. That's why we're here. And if you're a great citizen and you're not a good Christian, I'm not going to buy into that. If you could change the politics, but you never win anybody to Christ, I'm not in on that. Because you've chose the lesser thing. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I don't. Okay, I do. The point is, listen, there's an accounting coming. This world is not all there is. Thank God for that. I'll live in a land where there is no killing of babies. There is no, look, we're letting criminals out of jail because of a virus. What is wrong with us? And every time I want to get to the message, something else comes to mind, so I better back up for a minute. But the point is, I could go on and on about that, but you know what? I thank God. You know what keeps us sane? Man, heaven's wonderful. I stand before God, and it's like anything we do for God, when we stand before Him, we are never going to regret it. If a thought comes to our mind, you know what the thought's going to be? This is real. I wish I'd have done more. And I don't do that to dump on you, because I think you're trying to do what you can. There's an accounting coming. Thank God. Hey, those of you that give, can I just tell you something? God keeps account. Those of you that at your work and other people lie, steal, and cheat, and you're honest, and maybe it cost you at your work, can I just tell you something? God got that. That's all good. We're not doing the right, we do the right thing. Yes, I hope it makes a difference in this world, but that's regardless. It's important and it's noticed in the next world. What am I saying today? A lot of stuff. The point is, we can be unsure about a lot of things, but I'll be honest with you. The only thing that makes sense in this world is what's in that book. Amen. God's word, God's presence, everything's God's doing, and I'm going to attach myself to him. If I'm attached myself to him, I'm attached to the rock. And all the nonsense that goes on around me, let it come. All the upheaval, I'm not going to be a part of that. Because I know. Are you sure about that? I'm absolutely sure. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that my life, and Lord, I'm sure our world is going to get crazier as the years go by until you come, and I hope you come soon. But Lord, there's so much nonsense going on. There's so much to cause fear. I think fear is pandered in our society, Lord. But you know, you've given us enough to be sure of. You've given us something to hang our spiritual hats on. You've given us something to give us purpose in life, to give us direction in life. Lord, we're so grateful for that tonight. And God be with us. Lord, anybody that's struggling out there today, whether they're struggling, some physically, some are struggling emotionally. Lord, it's tough when things aren't normal. And maybe there's some that are struggling spiritually. Lord, I hope that you would help us, give us the power, the strength, and the grace to be sure about the things you're sure of. Be with us now until we meet together again. Give us a good week. And Lord, be with our country during this time, and I pray that you'd help us to get through this quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.